Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, happy Friday, and welcome to the Court Case Podcast with me, your host, James Court.
And Sweet Tea, and today's episode is The Hollywood Fix.
Okay, hope everyone's looking forward to the weekend today. Nice lockdown weekend.
Big up.
Are you...
Hopefully the weather stays good. It has been recently.
It's been bloody gorgeous.
It's been lockdown 01 all over again.
Oh, see, that's what I want. I want the cocktail making in the garden. Lockdown again.
Well, I don't want lockdown at all, mate.
No, but I mean, if we had to have any...
Oh, okay, yeah.
But anyway, we have got a jam-packed show for you guys today. We're going to be taking Hollywood to court today. Our podcast today is going to be completely Hollywood based. There's been a lot of stuff coming out in the news lately about these Hollywood types doing some pretty insane, disgusting stuff. And after such great reception for our Dubai influencer episode, everyone seemed to love that, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. We got some good feedback.
And which was just us ranting very passionate about a subject.
Yeah. So we're going to do it again.
We've got a subject that we are extremely passionate about. There's a lot of stuff in the news. It's just these rich white men in Hollywood. They're
dangerous.
Yeah.
White men are dangerous.
Exactly.
I knew it was coming. I just knew it was coming.
Yeah. And the thing is with that, right, is we've got from... It's not even old white men. It's from young to old. We're going to be talking about David Dobrik being a dickhead now. That's probably going to be the first one we talk about because it recently came out on the H3 podcast that his vlog squad, you know,
yeah,
which you
I know
used
the
to
one.
Watch.
I did used to watch, unfortunately, to say.
Yeah, which I didn't.
But to be fair, I feel like most of my friends did because it was that stage, you know, during like school and college, he was popular.
Bragging rights, I have never seen a David Dobrik video.
Have you not?
I've never watched one.
It's only 4 minutes and 20 seconds long.
Yeah, I know. What is that about?
I don't know.
All of his videos are only 4:20.
Yeah, I think it's because...
Weed.
Well, yeah, one weed. And I think it's because something to do with like Vine was only like 5 seconds, wasn't it, on Vine?
Yeah, so they'll increase that 5 to 4:20.
I don't know. I heard something about it, but he wanted to keep it all the same, like Vine was all the same.
But anyway, he's always marketed as like the nice guy of YouTube, sort of like the Tom Hanks of the internet world,
he was marketed as the car buyer.
He bought loads of stuff for people, didn't he?
Yeah,
but it does turn out
that is one big pile of shit
because that was a good one, that I think, because it turns out he's a bully and he's not very nice, and he caused a guy to experience sexual assault twice.
Yeah, not once, but twice.
Two times. And we're going to get to that in just a second. We're going to talk about this big Marilyn Manson news and the abuse allegations about her. Not her. Marilyn's a dude. The person that he abused, Evan Rachel Wood.
Is a woman, yeah.
And multiple other people. We're going to talk about who the guy is in Hollywood that is trying to expose all the paedophilia there is rampant at the moment. I have a lot of respect for this guy, and we're going to be talking about him.
But obviously, to touch on that, there is the Cecil Hotel documentary that is very much based in LA and ripping to shit about how bad LA is.
Yeah, and that's not even Hollywood. That's just LA on a ground level.
Yeah, like, and like the streets of LA and what goes on.
Yeah, Standard Hotel. That's a good point.
Yeah, if you haven't watched the documentary, definitely watch it if you're interested. It shouldn't be 4 episodes long. They definitely dragged it out, don't you think?
Only by maybe 1 episode. Yeah. I think the reason they dragged it out was because they brought all the internet conspiracy people into
definitely,
it.
Yeah, definitely,
If they didn't have those people in it and that one episode where they just threw out their wild theories,
then
it could have just been through.
Because they didn't even touch on the actual case in one of the episodes, did they? But it's so fucked that there was the type of people living there and staying there that was allowed. It was just mental.
It's been the top 10 trending on Netflix for the past few weeks since it's been out, which is only a couple of weeks ago.
Wow.
And we binged it in about two nights, didn't we?
Yeah.
Really good stuff. Really, I love a good documentary. That Night Stalker documentary that came out a few
set
weeks
in
ago.
Set in LA as well. And he stayed in the CISO Hotel.
Stayed in that hotel. It's madness. LA, to me, I love the idea of LA culture. Like, I like Weezer. They just sing about
California.
Well,
you like what the
LA.
Media portrays LA to be.
Yeah. And then recently, I'm just like, it's awful there. Yeah. Like, I don't get why people live there. Mm. It's crap. And this is one thing that I wanted to, because especially... You get a lot of young people from our country, England.
That go over there.
Either go over there or dream of going over there and want to go over there. And they have this beautiful picture of LA in their head.
Yeah.
And they need to know. They need to know that it's not as
because,
good.
Because as this has all obviously come out, it's because it's been hidden for so long. Mm-hmm. It's now been resurfaced and we're now going to touch on it.
I've been to LA once. And yeah. I mean, it is a nice place to go on holiday, particularly I really like Santa Monica, Venice Beach. Those places are lovely to go. Even we didn't stay in a hotel. We stayed in like a house when we went to LA. And literally we come out of our street, we turn left. There's loads of homeless people.
Yeah, I think that's the thing. If you're going to go there, you need to be well educated now because you are going with the wrong expectations. And that's what a lot of people that were on the CISO Hotel were saying that they got there. There was a couple that got there and they did not expect to see what they were seeing.
Yeah, but we'll start out easy with David Dobrik. So the main thing is this former member of YouTube David Dobrik's vlog squad said the group was toxic and like a cult. Now what is the vlog squad? Because I have never watched a David Dobrik video.
The vlog squad is literally just like a group of guys and girls that all live in LA together. I believe they all live in the same house. If not, they live in the same area. David Dobrik is like, I guess, the boss of it all because he records them all. He doesn't really get involved in the videos. He's just the man behind the camera. He gets them doing all stupid shit like getting drunk, making out with people, doing pranks on people. Then the odd nice one, oh, I bought you a car to make up all the trauma that I've given you, like that kind of thing. Do you know what I mean?
I see, yeah. Because I saw a headline when it was all in the midst of like the tears and lockdown and stuff that the vlog squad were organizing parties during COVID and stuff, but David Dobrik wasn't going to them.
See, this is the thing, like, I heard that they planned a birthday party for David Dobrik in his house with, like, loads of people came to his house and, like, surprised him for a birthday party. And there was obviously recorded footage that, like, went on the internet, but you couldn't see David in any of the footage. But this is the thing, he's always the man behind the camera. You never see him in the footage anyway. So why are people going, oh my God, he wasn't at his own birthday party at his own house?
He was filming it.
He was, one, either filming it, or two, he was there, it's his house. Like, people, they just quickly to go, oh my God, I didn't see him, he wasn't there. Like, you can easily fucking get out of the footage, do you know what I mean?
Yeah. So he's got 90 million YouTube subscribers. How close is that to PewDiePie?
I don't know. I have no idea.
Because he's like top dog, isn't he?
Is he? Is he still?
I think it's regularly flips between him and this children's channel.
Children's channel?
Yeah, that does like kiddie videos for young kids that you stick on, I believe. So it wasn't always the wholesome friend group it appeared to be on screen. A former member said in an explosive interview with H3H3 Productions, Ethan and Ida Klein, who I rep. I love those two. I think they're great. A wonderful couple. Also Teddy Fresh, fantastic clothes.
Yeah
I
good,
love
good
Ethan
merch
either.
That
so Nick Kaswani, who's better known as Big Nick, appeared on the H3H3 After Dark podcast to explain why he stopped to be on Dobrik's channel. This is interesting because the one that I've been researching is this Seth guy.
Yeah.
So clearly Ethan has had more than one vlog squad member on his podcast.
They're easy to get on.
Easy to get on. The dissing on Dobrik.
I don't think David Dobrik is recording YouTube videos anymore, so they're probably after any type of, you know, connection right now to put themselves out on the internet.
He stopped posting daily vlogs while quarantined.
There you go.
Yeah. So Nick Kezwani has 1 million YouTube subscribers on his own. He first found fame on Vine, where initially apparently he was even more popular than Dobrik. And this Kezwani has dwarfism, so he's a dwarf. Do you remember him from the vlogs at all?
I can't, to be honest. I haven't watched it for years.
Kezwani, he said that the jokes actually hurt his feelings and eventually led him to leave the channel. He also said that the friend group's behaviour toward him could be cruel and was damaging to his mental health. His candid interview shines
a light. Oh, wait, I know. Yeah, I do remember him. Yeah? Oh, I do remember him, yeah.
So he said on a recent episode of Frenemies, which is Ethan Klein's other podcast with Trisha Paytas.
I thought it was Paytas.
Maybe. Paytas. I hear it said different.
Let's leave a debate in the comment section below.
Dobrik and Vlog Squad member and Paytas' ex-boyfriend Jason Nash were discussed at length. I feel like he seems to be the problem child in a lot of this.
Who?
This Jason Nash fella.
He's the problem child. He's like the oldest of them all.
Yeah, one thing makes me
very strange.
Really weird.
There's like a whole backstory behind that, and it's kind of embarrassing that I know it.
Especially because he's hanging out with like Charli D'Amelio and stuff like that at the moment. That's very weird because they're 16. But he went out with Trisha Paytas. Paytas said that the friend group was toxic as a whole. Keswani agreed that Paytas' assessment of the toxic culture was accurate. He said, "It's a bit like a cult. I would come home so drained, just like mentally." That's what he said.
Wow.
He said that he still loves Dobrik, though, who he said he still talks to on occasion, and that he always liked Nash, but the other members of the Vlog Squad gossip about him and other people in private. "I always remember talking to my friends afterward like, yo, I've got to get out of this. I can't do this. That was me behind the scenes the whole time. I was just constantly stressing about how do I escape from this."
God.
That's not very nice,
See,
is
the
it?
Thing is, like, if you were to watch a video, or a couple of David's videos, every single person it is like short movies. Like, that's what that video, that clip with Trisha Paytas was saying, wasn't it?
Yes.
Like, it is like his short movie. Yeah. And like, it is, because when you watch it, every single person is playing a character, whether it's them in real life or not. Like, obviously this stuff is coming out saying that they were mentally drained. I'm guessing it's not how they actually acted in real life then, but like, every single person is a different character. Like, they behave so wildly and so drastic, and it's just mental. Like,
exactly. And after this, Nick came out with stuff. This a man called Seth, who is also apparently a member of the Vlog Squad. He went on Ethan and Ela's H3 podcast as well, and he said that he was sexually assaulted during a video shoot with them. And the crux of the story is, I believe, was they were doing this prank where David Dobrik said that we are going to disguise... It was one of his first videos he ever did, I think. "We're going to disguise this girl member of the Vlog Squad up as an old man, and then you've got to like make out with her or something." But then when it came to filming, they swapped the girl out with Jason Nash, and then he ended up making out with her and he didn't know.
Yeah, he thought it was the girl, but it was Jason Nash. Yeah,
yeah. And so apparently afterwards he expressed that he wasn't comfortable with that to David. And David said, "Oh yeah, no, we won't do it again." And then they did the same sort of thing but with a gorilla suit instead, and it was Jason Nash again. And so, and he didn't consent to that at all.
No.
And so it's just a bit like, what the fuck? And David's never addressed it. He's never apologized. And also this Seth guy has said he tried to not bring this out in interviews.
Yeah.
He tried to settle it in-house with David by contacting him. Mm-hmm. David's refused to contact him. So he said, "The only way I'm saying it now is I've got to bring it out in interviews. I've got to chat about it."
Wow. Like, I can't believe, like, David Dobrik's managed to get himself an image that he is like untouchable.
Mm-hmm.
He is amazing. He's lovely. Like, he's just got so much power. But like, he doesn't address any of these accusations ever.
Yeah, and that's what Philip DeFranco said when he did his video. He said David's normal way of dealing with any stuff that comes his way is just to not address it and not make anything at all.
And then make new content. And this new content that he's making is like a podcast with like the D'Amelios or something. I saw that somewhere. I don't know if they're together all the time. I don't know.
He does have this weird untouchable thing about him, because I remember when Ethan did his podcast and I was watching clips, Philip DeFranco hadn't done his video yet, and Philip DeFranco does a big news show that's really popular, and Ethan said to him, he said, "Philip DeFranco's being a fucking coward. He's not mentioning it because it's David Dobrik." And then it took a few days before Phil came out with his. But if you Google David Dobrik, all of the stuff on the news tab on Google he's done a fucking house tour video, and you have to scroll down at least half a page,
so it isn't everywhere,
before the abuse stuff even comes
up.
It's ridiculous. Like, why is his house
tour
more important?
Because you can pay people off, can't you, to put other stuff as more news, like top of the news. Even
the thing is I wonder who it is that's doing it. Is it Dobrik that's maybe paying for these things, or is it YouTube that's like, he's given us a squeaky clean image, do we want him
I know
tainted like that? it makes you wonder. And
there's definitely something going on behind the scenes. Like, it's just so fishy. Mm-hmm. And like the amount of like already like groups in general, there's never anything good come from groups, is there? Like, we had Team 10, we have now the TikTok houses. I don't even know who
I
and
hate
what.
The TikTok houses with a passion.
To be honest, I hate them all. I hate all the content houses. I think it's ridiculous, and just nothing good ever comes from it. Like, you always get people coming out and going, I left, I was abused, I was mentally drained. Like, every time, like, no one's ever come out, God, it was the best experience of my life, I'm so happy. Like, do you know what I mean? It just shows that there's just no fucking point in them.
The bloody hype house and the whack house and the AIDS house, whatever the houses are. Bloody frustrating. I think that's so far all of the David Dobrik related stuff. He still hasn't said anything to Seth or Nick, so we're sort of in a bit of a dead air situation at the moment. Yeah, where nothing's come back. Jason Nash, I haven't seen said anything. He just seems like a creep to me.
Who,
this Jason Nash? How old is David Dobrik?
We're gonna have to research that, because I don't know people's ages by heart, believe it or not.
But Jason Nash is 45. And
I thought he was older than
he's
that.
Doing videos with 16-year-old.
Right, I think the reason behind this, I don't think it's any like weird, creepy thing like you're thinking.
Right.
It is purely because he has a daughter who is obsessed with TikTok and Charlie D'Amelio. And I think it's more the case of he's got an image, he's in the limelight.
Right.
He can just organise to meet Charlie D'Amelio whenever he wants.
Does he get his daughter involved?
I don't know that. I mean, probably.
Because that would be kind of weird.
I mean, probably, yeah.
Yeah.
Probably does bring his daughter along, because... not being funny, if I was obsessed, like, I'm obsessed with Post Malone. My dad can meet Post Malone and didn't bring me along.
Yeah, exactly.
I think I'd be a bit fucking pissed.
Thinking.
Like, I feel like it's definitely something to do.
I love Post Malone, Dad. Oh, yeah, I'm going to meet him.
I'm
going
to go for a coffee with him.
Home.
Yeah, you stay here. Like, do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, they're definitely... I think there's more to it.
Yeah, I'd just be the daughter looking at TikTok and be like, I'm getting emancipated, I'm leaving my dad.
But also at the same time, like, everyone is talking about the D'Amelio twins, everyone knows them, they are popping at the moment.
Yeah.
So he is just going to do content with them because he is dying, clearly, because of David Dobrik. So
he is, yeah, I know. I'm sure, like, David Dobrik will bounce back. He always does.
Oh, he always
Once
does
quarantine's
somehow.
Over,
yeah.
He'll come up with new.
He'll do like a massive
hit.
Video, and everyone will be like, "Oh my god, he's amazing! He's bought somebody else a car."
Yeah. Why can't he buy us a car?
Why can't he buy us a house?
What'll happen is he'll buy this Seth and Nick another car, and he'll be like, "Forget the."
He'll call Philip DeFranco and be like, "Look, delete your video. I'll get you a Land Rover, right?"
Yeah, exactly. That's going to be the thing.
I don't know why I said Land Rover. It's probably you'd get a more expensive car than that, wouldn't he?
I'd like a Land Rover.
Yeah, I think that's my dream car.
But no, we're going to get to the whole Marilyn Manson stuff. We're going to get to this paedophilia and Hollywood stuff. All of that, it's coming right after this. And we're back, guys. Hope you poured yourselves a nice cup of tea, because we're going to get you to some juicy gossip now. You're not going to look at Hollywood the same way after we've talked to you about the stuff we're going to talk to you today.
We hope, anyway.
Yeah. But the main, one of the main ones, and the most serious ones, and the most egregious ones, is paedophilia in Hollywood.
You heard it right. You didn't think it was happening, but it is.
It is rampant, and it is awful. Okay, there was a guy, I'm going to first start the segment where I've prepared an audio clip of, there's this actor, his name is Corey Feldman. You would recognise him from the 80s, he was a child star, he was in loads of stuff, he was in The Goonies, he was in Stand By Me, he was in one that we went to the cinema to watch with your dad, The Lost Boys. You remember, it was the vampire one.
Yeah.
You remember there was the young boy and the brother, they moved into that house. Mm-hmm. And then they were plagued by vampires or whatever. And the young boy got a friend that was like a little vampire hunter boy.
Oh, right.
That was him.
Oh, okay.
It's him. He was in loads of stuff. And then he started admitting to people that he was, you know, getting molested, and there was people sexually assaulting him. He got blacklisted and he stopped getting put in loads of stuff. And he had an actor best buddy who was also a child star called Corey Haim, and Corey Haim committed suicide.
Oh my god, really?
Yeah, they were called the two Coreys at the time, they were really popular.
Wow.
He committed suicide, and after that the Corey Feldman was like, I need to keep this guy, I need to speak out.
And he committed suicide because of what was going on. That's so fucked.
Yeah, it's mad. It's really complicated, like the mum denies it and stuff like
the mum
because she doesn't want any trouble, she like keeps
oh
secret,
okay like she's one of those
mom.
Like Yeah, she doesn't want to stand up for what's right.
This is what Corey Feldman said a couple years ago about Hollywood.
I can tell you that the number one problem in Hollywood was and is and always will be pedophilia. That's the biggest problem for children in this industry.
The casting couch even applies to children.
Oh, yeah. Not in the same way. It's all done under the radar.
Nobody talks about pedophilia.
It's the big secret.
And it's widespread?
Oh, yeah. I was surrounded by them when I was 14 years old. Surrounded. Literally. Didn't even know it. It wasn't until I was old enough to realize what they were and what they wanted and what they were about and the types of people that were surrounding me till I went, oh my God, they were everywhere like vultures.
Right. So that's what he had to say. And I'm going to tell you, right, I find this whole topic interesting because it's just mad how covered up it is and how such disgusting crimes
are being allowed to happen.
It's like with the Harvey Weinstein stuff. People like Meryl Streep knew about it and let it happen. And it's just like, how can you do this stuff? People's careers are so important to them that they're letting children get attacked like this. And so the story of Corey is really tragic, obviously, but the thing is, it's happening everywhere. You know, obviously, because I mean, your little sister watches it. You know stuff like iCarly,
yeah,
and Victorious.
Oh my God, yeah, I heard about this.
Dan Schneider,
yeah, he was obsessed with feet, wasn't it? And he did. If you go back and watch it, there's literally in every episode, there's at least some sort of foot reference.
Getting my Van Schneider, as people call him, and yeah. it gets worse. I can tell you like this whole story because I've watched loads of videos on it. It's disgusting because I loved. That his first show was Drake and Josh.
Mm-hmm.
Love Drake and Josh. It's so great. And then I watched iCarly.
Oh, speaking of David Dobrik, the guy that played Josh is
Josh
in
Peck.
The yeah, he's in the Vlog Squad.
He's in the Vlog Squad.
Yeah.
I've seen Josh Peck's own channel.
Yeah.
And I enjoy his stuff.
I don't know if he's like officially in it, but he like hangs out with David Dobrik and stuff. Yeah.
I see. Fair enough. I do like Josh Peck, to be fair. But anyway, after Drake and Josh, he did like iCarly and Victorious, and it's really weird. Yeah, he has the thing is with this Dan Schneider guy. He's produced all of these shows and he was really successful in Nickelodeon. But yeah, he had a weird thing with feet.
Mm-hmm.
And so he would do, there'd be loads of stuff in his shows like Victorious and iCarly where he'd write these weird foot jokes in.
Yeah, it's so
where
weird.
Where the girls in particular would be doing weird stuff with their feet. But what was also weird is that the shows would have their own Twitter accounts.
Yeah.
What would happen was when like a new season of iCarly would be out, if there was something in the show that involved feet, Dan Schneider would tweet from the iCarly Twitter account and would be like, kids, send us pics of your feet doing the stuff like in the show.
No way.
And loads of kids would tweet pictures of their feet and stuff.
I didn't know that.
It's so weird.
Oh my God.
And it goes so... it's awful. He has since... The thing is, he's since been let go from Nickelodeon.
Good.
Right? But the thing is, they never made a statement that it was about this stuff.
Oh.
And it sort of went under the radar. And he was let go, but given a settlement of like $12 million or something like that. So he was let go for money. So it wasn't really...
Yeah, hasn't like been punished.
No, but Janet McCurdy... You know in iCarly, you've got Carly and then the other one, Sam.
Sam, yeah.
Apparently she had it the worst.
Phoebe watched it the other day, the scene. I was looking at this, I was like, oh my God, like I know what James is on about now.
Yeah.
There was a scene where she was like cutting her toenails or something like that. Something to do with her feet. And it was like a solid like 10 minutes straight of just her and her feet like in this shot. It's so bizarre.
Yeah. And but the thing is, apparently off screen, she had it the worst as well.
Dan Schneider really?
Was really creepy to her and it caused her a lot of problems to the point where even though Dan Schneider's not involved in it at all, they're planning this little iCarly reunion on that they're going to film on a streaming service, and every cast member's coming back except her. She doesn't want to do it.
Oh, bless her.
She's too traumatized.
Like, traumatized, yeah, I can imagine. Stuff.
And it's mad. And also, what was weird is a few years ago, this is what got me really interested, because I was like, this is so, like, sneaky, was there was this anonymous blogger. Like a few years ago, before Twitter was, as Twitter was like a really big thing, before you had like the big other social media sites like Instagram and stuff. And there was a blogger that claimed to be a Hollywood like actor or a famous Hollywood person. And he would often tweet, he would not tweet, he would often blog about bad people in Hollywood. and he talked about people like Dan Schneider, he talked about people like Harvey Weinstein before it all came out and stuff, and no one knew who the
blogger was.
There's a lot of theories, and I will get to who I think it is and who.
Oh, we still don't know.
No, we still don't know who this person is. Oh, okay. I forgot what the blog was called, but you can definitely, if you look into
is
the
Dan Schneider
stuff. Is it
still ongoing?
No. Oh. It stopped a while ago. But basically the...
it's like some Gossip Girl shit, that.
It is. That's basically what it was. It was like a Hollywood Gossip Girl site. And basically it was written by a guy, and he did one blog once where he wrote down all of the good people in Hollywood, all of the people that worked with that are solid
good,
and amazing. And people looked at that article, they looked at who he'd work with specifically. And they tried to figure it out. And everyone thinks it was Robert Downey Jr.,
who
was writing this, which I can totally see. One, I can see him doing it because he's very outspoken, he's cocky, he's confident. I can see him doing that. And one, he is himself a very sort of untouchable Hollywood person. But the thing is, he's not a dickhead. And he talked about Dan Schneider and stuff because he's worked with Miranda Cosgrove, who plays Carly, before. Yeah, everyone thinks that just around the times that he was just starting out doing Iron Man stuff, he was writing these blogs and trying to get people done.
I wonder if it's like a massive group of people that are like covering these stories up, or is it just like one individual that we don't see, like the CEO.
Yeah,
like, do you know what I mean? That's got so much money that can just pay off all of these rumors and everything like that. Like, I don't know how it's been so well hidden. I mean, it isn't anymore. Like, people are talking about it like us, and there's
but the thing
blogs
is,
and everything like that. But nothing's been done about it.
No, people are talking about it so much, but there's not much change.
No,
not much is changing. And I mean, some of the stuff I remember watching again while these Dan Schneider things, and they would talk about how they would audition the children.
Hmm.
And they were basically, it wouldn't be like an audition, like, I don't know if you've ever been to an audition before, but where you're just like in a room opposite two casting people with a table and they tell you to do a scene. They would host like pool parties, and they would invite these children around to these producers, like Dan Schneider's houses, into their pools, and they would have like pool parties.
Ew.
Yeah, and they would be in the pool with the kids, and there'd be...
Talking
against some of the kids. Yeah, it's really weird. And apparently one of the auditions for like iCarly and stuff, I remember Janet McCurdy or someone said in an interview, one of her auditions was they were in a room, and like the audition was Dan Schneider just asked her to take her shoes off and run around barefoot.
Ew.
Yeah, and there was also one person that was like an extra or something on the set of, I think, Victorious, that said that Dan Schneider paid her money to give her a foot massage. Yeah.
This is just mental.
It's madness.
I'm like, not saying like none of this happens anywhere else in the world either, but like obviously Hollywood seems to be the main focus point.
They get away with it in Hollywood, and it's disgusting. And that's the thing, that's obviously all of this Me Too stuff, obviously about rape and everything, is awful and is disgusting, but the paedophilia stuff is worse because these are impressionable children that, one, they don't know how normal life works, let alone Hollywood life.
Yeah,
so they're getting completely taken advantage of. You got parents that want their kids to get famous, so they will do anything to think. And one of the things worse was I watched that Corey Feldman on a talk show once. He was on with the guy that plays Ron Swanson in Parks and Rec.
Oh yeah,
who was sat next to him. It was one of those shows like the Graham Norton Show where they have guests on for different reasons.
We've mentioned a lot of names here, people are going to get so confused, but I know who you mean.
Nick Offerman, Ron Swanson on the show there, Corey Feldman, and it was run by these women. It was sort of like a Loose Women but American style. And Corey Feldman was talking about his abuse as a child and all the stuff he went through, and one of the women on Loose Women said, "You're ruining an entire industry here." And it's like, on live TV, she said that, and Corey Feldman was just kind of like, "Well, I don't mean to, but like, I'm the victim. This isn't."
Yeah.
And it's just like, you can say that on live TV, and like, there are going to be people that are going to be like, "Yeah, she's right." And it's like, open your eyes, open your eyes, please.
Like, he's literally spelling it out for you, and you're just like, "Yeah, well, you're ruining everyone's chance of getting famous now, so shut the fuck up."
Yeah. And they were like, "What advice do you have for any parents who want to send their children to Hollywood TV stars?" And he was like, "You have to have a long think. You need to sit down and think about it, you know?"
I respect women more than I respect men.
I didn't mean to play that soundbite. I meant to play the "These White Men Are Dangerous," but we had Donald Trump saying he respects women, which, you know, is very important. Thank you, Donald.
I mean, does he respect the woman that told Corey that?
Yeah, I know. This is what he wanted.
White men are dangerous.
Yes, they are. The white men are dangerous. You need to remember that. But
he's obsessed with his soundboard.
I love this little soundboard now. It's really nice. And it adds a little flavour to the show, you know. Moving on from the paedophilia. So you guys, I want everyone that's listening to go away and to spread this message.
Don't go to LA.
What's going on in Hollywood? I mean, yeah, I mean, go there for a holiday if you want, because it is quite nice. But
if you stay near the beach area, I'm sure you'll be fine.
Yeah, even then, for example, what people don't understand, you know, the Hollywood Walk of Fame, you know, all the stars on the walk, that street's dirty as hell.
Yeah.
Like, they
don't see it, do you?
They don't sweep it, they don't clean it. All of the stars look dirty and grubby. Mm. You've got crap tons of people.
You've got cars stopping for people to make TikToks in the middle of the road.
I saw that the other you showed me that. That's insane.
Yeah. It wasn't just one. It was like this whole account of this person, like these young boys, wasn't it? Like doing dance videos in the middle of the road. And I just, if I was in the car and someone was just dancing in front of me, I would be like, what the fuck?
I'm going to be honest with you. I would just start driving forward as soon as there's a green light. And if I ruin their shot, I would do everything to try and ruin their shot. Is what I would do.
No, I would get out of the car and start. If I was in the car with my dog, I'd get out of the car and let the dog go. Go on.
There are
get in the shot.
There are so many spaces, particularly in LA, where you could film your dancing.
The beach would be a nice background.
Yeah.
The thing is, why did they think that cars in the background of them doing a TikTok is a nice background?
Yeah.
Like, I've never looked at it and gone, wow, that's a really cool shot. I need to do that. No.
There's so many places.
You're just...
Venice Beach, Santa Monica, Ocean Park, the bloody Griffith Observatory. Go up there and just do a dance.
Do outside of a fucking shop if you want. Like, I don't need to see you in a road nearly getting killed to do a bloody renegade or whatever it is.
Also, but there must be people that look at the video of the people dancing on the crossroads and they must be like, oh, yeah, that's really clever. I like how he's done that.
Yeah, there will be.
Because he keeps making more. So. Yeah. But I don't get who are those people who are being like, that's not annoying.
I could give you a name. There's this one guy, I can't remember. We're going to have to search up in a minute so I can name drop. This guy, Jordan Matters, is the guy. I don't know how old he is. And I don't want to assume it's anything weird because he's got his own kids and stuff like that. But he has a YouTube channel. Within a year, it's gained 7 million followers. Because he's jumped to the trend and the clout. And he's gotten all these TikTok stars.
Right.
Young ones, like 10-year-olds plus. And gotten them in groups of like 10 other people and they're doing photo shoots, and there's some dance kids from Abby Lee's class.
Dance moms,
that's it. And he's got on them like doing dance videos in the middle of the road, in the middle of the street, and Abby Lee's there and she's like, oh, point your feet, blah blah blah, like being a moany little bitch that she is.
I hate Abby Lee.
She's so annoying.
I know.
I never watched Dance Moms, but like everyone knows who she is.
One of my exes used to watch Dance Moms, so I watched like a season of it, and I was just like, this was also the one thing I hate about Dance Moms.
For a reason.
Also, one of the reasons was the mums in that show.
Oh my
awful.
God.
It's disgusting.
See, that's the thing, like, is that all put on? Like, is like Love Island, is some of the arguments and some of the stuff that is said, is it all scripted? Is some of it scripted?
The thing is, I don't think the arguments are, but I think the situations are. I think the producers on these reality shows will put, for example, the mums in a room and will say, Abby Lee has decided that your kid is doing this and your kid's not getting to do
this.
And
then you watch it go down.
Discuss. And then they just watch it go down and watch the fire.
But yeah, so this Jordan Matter guy, I don't think he's a weirdo, but I do think it's weird the content that he's producing, because he's encouraging kids to dance in the road bare feet and take photos and like... in the bloody subway. He's like literally like getting kids to, in bare feet, bearing in mind, to like do weird poses in a subway just for him to take photos of for
very,
like a photo challenge. Like
very
it's very strange content, but kids love it. Kids absolutely love it. I know. But you know, fair enough.
It's strange. But what I wanted to move on to and get to in the last sort of half hour section of our show is this Marilyn Manson abuse. Now, before I told you about the show, you did not know who Marilyn Manson is.
No, and thank God I didn't.
Yeah, the man is a self-made ugly prick. And to be honest, it is self-made. He's got that weird, he's got one eye.
I wasn't laughing at the self-made. Like, that's fine.
Right.
You call him an ugly prick. That's funny.
Right. Basically, Marilyn Manson, he's like a rock singer. He was famous. He got famous for a cover of the song Tainted Love by Soft Cell, and basically he's got this weird look where he purposefully looks weird. He's got like,
he looks scary.
He always has one contact lens where like one eye is a different thing from the other. There was a rumor around the internet.
First thought he was the guy from the Cecil Hotel documentary.
Oh. Yeah, that dude. There was one rumor when I was young, when I was in secondary school. Like, do you remember like urban legends?
No.
Like things that everyone thought was true, but probably
isn't. Oh, yeah.
Right? That Marilyn Manson got two ribs surgically removed so that he could suck his own penis.
What?
That was like an urban legend. Right, that he did that. I've never heard of that.
That is so bizarre.
I don't know if it's true or not, but everyone's like, yeah, well, Marilyn Manson sucks his own dick. He's got surgically removed, so he could do that.
What the fuck?
Even if
you could do that, sure, it wouldn't even be that enjoyable. Like,
yeah, I don't know. But I mean, it would make women surplus to requirements, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would.
But I remember my little gang of guys, like my Arundel mates, talking about those rumours and stuff. It's very strange.
Fun times, James.
Yeah. But anyway, he is the latest person being accused of sexually abusing. And in this case, it's an actress called Evan Rachel Wood, who I also don't know. But she's, to be honest, she's not too famous, but she is definitely getting there. She's in Westworld, which is a really good program, although I've only watched the first season because I can't find the other two seasons anywhere. But it had a really fucking cool twist. It's sick. It was out years ago. We're not going to watch it, so I'm going to tell you it quick because it's amazing.
I don't even have viewers want to listen, so you can tell me afterwards.
They want to know what Westworld's about. Go on, right? So basically, Westworld is about this. It's like Jurassic Park, but it's like set in the future, and you can go there and be like in old West times. So it's like a park in the future where tourists would go and they would just experience being in the Wild West, like completely. Not like going to Disneyland, like you would be dressed, you would become a character, everyone in there, you would live in the Wild West for wherever you want. And she played like a character in that show, and then there was a huge, it was really good. I won't get into it, but anyway. So,
oh, I thought you were going to get into it, hon. What happened?
Oh, because I just realised it would take ages. But anyway, it was just really good. The first season has a sick twist. One of the best twists I've seen on TV. I thought it was amazing. Anyway, so she has claimed that singer Marilyn Manson horrifically abused her during her 3-year relationship in the late noughties. So this would be about 2008, 9, 10 time. She began dating him in 2007 and they got engaged in 2010.
She was dating him?
Yeah.
But they
broke up later that year. Manson has denied the allegations, saying there were horrible distortions of reality. But multiple women have now come out with allegations against him, and I have reasons to believe Evan Rachel Wood in this scenario. Wood has previously said that she is a survivor of rape and domestic abuse without naming the person accused. See, this is the reason why I believe Evan Rachel Wood in this scenario. If she was someone that was just coming out with these allegations just to name someone for clout or for fame or whatever, she would have come out with it straight away.
Yeah.
She wouldn't have spent the past 3, 4 or whatever so years, you know, campaigning for rape and domestic, you know, abuse stuff, and you know, saying that she's been abused all her time and being too scared to name the person. Like, I don't think you would.
I mean that's also another way of getting clout, because people are going to stay tuned for 4 years to find out who it is, and now she has, and everyone's going to be like, oh my god, wow. But I'm guessing
she
wouldn't have done
that. I
hadn't
thought of it that way.
You know,
but
there's two different ways to think about it. You can't always believe what you listen on the internet, but at the same time, you do want to believe what is heard on the internet, because stuff like this does happen, and you want people to not make up fucking allegations like that.
The thing is, you should believe everyone that comes out with allegations like these, but the reality is there are people that come out with them and they are lying.
Yeah, exactly.
So
people have changed that trust, hasn't they?
Yeah, so that's the thing. And the people that are lying are disgusting, because they are ruining it for people. Because the fact that this Evan Rachel Wood has come out with allegations, if there weren't people in the news and previously that have lied about rape before,
we wouldn't
be having this conversation about whether she's done it or not.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's
because the first thing would be like, oh, you know, Evan Rachel's come out with this. That would be the conversation. Like, but now we're like dissecting it and be like, oh, well, she could be telling the truth because she's been saying it for 4 years. Well, no, it should just be the truth anyway. People shouldn't be making bullshit up.
Yeah, but the thing is, the fact that other people have come out and they've said similar stuff sort of paints a network.
Backs
that,
her up.
Yeah. So on Monday, Wood alleged that Manson was her abuser for the first time via a statement posted on her Instagram account. The name of my abuser is Brian Warner, also known to the world as Marilyn Manson. He started grooming me when I was a teenager and horrifically abused me for years. I was brainwashed and manipulated into submission.
My God, bless her.
Yeah, she said, I'm done living in fear of retaliation, slander or blackmail. I'm here to expose this dangerous man and call out the many industries that have enabled him before he ruins any more lives. I stand with the many victims who will no longer be silent.
Cancel him. I'm joking. I don't like that cancel culture.
I mean, if they deserve it, then yeah, I get cancel culture. But obviously, my art and my life have long been magnets for controversy, but these recent claims about me are horrible distortions of reality. Oh, that's what Manson said, not her.
Oh.
Whoops. So Manson said, obviously, my art and my life have long been magnets for controversy, but these recent claims about me are horrible distortions of reality. My intimate relationships have always been entirely consensual with like-minded partners, regardless how and why others are now choosing to misrepresent the past. That is the truth. But several other women have come out with abuse allegations, and we have got details here of what they have said that he did.
Right, go on.
Strap
then.
In. So Ashley Walters says that she worked for Manson full-time as a personal assistant. She claims that he frequently became violent and would throw glass plates and heavy objects. She alleges that Manson offered her up for sexual encounters with collaborators.
Jesus.
That's disgusting. So someone were to collab with Manson and he would offer her up for sexual encounters.
Oh my God. That's disgusting.
She says she now struggles with PTSD and depression.
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
He also continued to harass her after their professional relationship ended.
Mm.
Gabriella, also known as the artist Sour Girl, I don't know who that is, alleges that Manson repeatedly tied her up and raped her. She claims that he forced her to take drugs with him and demanded she make a blood pact with him by cutting both their hands with broken glass. She says she spent one Christmas in hospital after trying to kill herself, and since breaking up with him has been diagnosed with PTSD and still suffers nightmares.
I'm not being funny. He's just a scary person in general. Like, before he even opens his mouth, I'm running away. Yeah. So PTSD, I think that's like...
Yeah.
Expected.
another woman said that she was thrown against the wall and Manson threatened to bash my face in with a baseball bat. She alleges she was locked in rooms when she was, quote, bad, verbally berated for hours and made to feel worthless. So there was another woman who dated Manson that said she wasn't allowed to eat or sleep or leave Manson's house. She claims Manson cut and burned her and asked her to bring him Nazi memorabilia. She says she's been left with PTSD and night terrors. What the hell is this man been doing?
Very scary.
That's fucking awful.
Yeah.
Like, okay, so, I mean, the thing is that all of that stuff that all these women have said, it's very similar stuff. It's outbursts of violence. It's
controlling behaviour. Do you think they've got a little group chat going, okay, you're going to come up with this, you're going to come up with that? No, definitely not. But
no.
It's just... I just can't believe what the fuck is happening in LA right now. Like, there's so much. There's always news circling, isn't there?
A couple of weeks ago, we've had the TikTok paedophiles.
Yeah,
we've had the kids on TikTok. That the thing is, what is
so funny is the fact that if there isn't big news like this going on, there'll be news somehow.
Yeah,
and the news that was on my Snapchat story this morning, which isn't even news. Who gives a fuck?
Mm.
But the TikTok girls don't like other girls. That was what it was, or something like that. And it's just like, and then I go on Twitter and all it was like, oh, who do you think doesn't like so-and-so? And it's like, why does it fucking matter? Why are you spending your morning worrying about who doesn't like each other? Just shut up.
Oh, Hollywood news, literally breaking from yesterday. James Charles has been messaging young kids.
Oh my God. Yeah, that was on Twitter as well.
Like, literally.
I feel sorry for him. If what he said is correct, then I feel sorry for him, because obviously that 16-year-old boy is taking advantage of the fact that he's in the limelight and he can get clout from it, and he's gone, let me get James Charles to like sex me and then I can out him. Do you know what I mean?
I do in that respect, but also whether the guy was of age or not, say he was a guy of age, like he was 20, the fact that James Charles
just randomly
went
added
on
him.
His explore page,
just
added someone and went, yo, I'm James Charles, let's start flirting, that's a sick abuse of power, in my opinion.
That's very weird. I 100% agree with that. Like, I just couldn't imagine like you're like a really well-known person, and the first person that you see random living somewhere completely different to you, you just see on your explore page and you go, yeah, they're an all right person, let's add them. Like, that's just so bizarre.
If I was a celebrity, I would have a rule of not dating
fans.
Well,
yeah, why would you?
Because there would always be this underlying measure of, yeah, like, she or he likes me.
Well, is it money? Fan. Is it lust? Is it you're going to, like, get clout from me at some point and, like, turn around and make up rumours? Like, yeah, that's always going to be the thing, isn't it? And I just, I do find it really, really strange that he was comfortable with just adding a random person on Snapchat.
Exactly. Because even if he was of age and this encounter came out, I would still, you know, have
I would still have a go at him
for manipulation in some way.
Oh, right, yeah. I get what you mean.
You know, just saying, he's just using his name, James Charles, to get some flirting and some nudes off a person.
Yeah.
Basically, whether they're of age or not. The fact that he didn't look enough to see that the guy was 16.
Yeah.
Is, you know, that is his fault. You should be more careful, to be honest.
No, 100%.
I don't understand. Obviously, when you're a professional and you're a celebrity in these ways, like when I'm sat in bed and I'm scrolling through Insta and I'm commenting on a photo, at the moment I don't really think too much of how could this get. I mean, I don't say anything disgusting, but I mean, I don't think too much of, you know, how could this get back to me?
Hmm.
Now that we've got an open podcast account, I do think a little that, oh, someone could stalk me, click on my account, then go on the podcast account and stuff. But I mean, I feel like if you're a celebrity of that thing, every time you're on social media, you should be thinking, whoever I message, whoever I click on, and whoever I comment on, I need to be aware that this stuff could come back to me in some way or 100%, another.
100%, because those people that they're talking to, they don't owe them any loyalty at the end of the day. You know, they could literally, like that, he said that the boy that he was talking to wasn't even a fan of him or something, and he just pretended he was to get him to add him back on Snapchat.
Yeah.
And then use him to out him. Like, people will do anything for fame and clout.
Also,
nowadays,
I'm not gonna lie, it reeks a bit of desperation from
what,
James's
part.
Oh
yeah, that's
the fact
true.
That he wanted some tail and he's
but,
on his explore
but then again,
page
like,
looking for it.
Does every celebrity need to date another celebrity just because they're in the limelight? No.
But
then how do you meet someone that isn't in the limelight that you know that you can trust? It's that tricky situation, because what's just happened to him is awful, and how is he ever gonna have trust to do that again? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, hopefully it's a lesson learned for him. Be a bit more careful.
Let's hope. If he comes out with the next statement next week, then, you know, he's lost.
Exactly. But, I mean, he's had loads of controversy over the past few years.
Oh, he has, hasn't he? He hasn't had it easy.
He was mates with bloody Shane Dawson, wasn't he?
Oh, my God, yeah. That was a whole thing.
He's a bit of a weird...
Is Shane Dawson, like, off YouTube now?
I don't know. He's not brought out any more content. And he's a bit of a weird kiddie one. Do you remember when he used to make weird...
I think we spoke about it on an episode
Pedophilia jokes about, like, the Will Smith's kids and stuff.
Yeah, no, he said loads of weird stuff that people just brushed under the carpet.
He was one, unlike David Dobrik, I did watch some Shane Dawson videos. I used to watch, he did these, like, conspiracy videos.
Those are the only videos of him that I watched. Other than that, I didn't care for it.
But I'm not losing any sleep on the fact that he's not uploading any more content.
Oh, no, neither. No, because there's fucking loads of people that do conspiracy theories stories. Like, I'm not missing out because Shane Dawson isn't doing any more.
We want to cover conspiracy theories soon.
Yeah,
we posted it on our story and we had quite a few suggestions of conspiracy theories to do, and I do want to cover it.
Yeah, 100%.
And probably,
there's loads to talk about. We could have like a whole episode touching on one or two.
On the next episode that's just us two, I would like to do a conspiracy theory.
Yeah,
I'd like
we'll
to
have
talk.
To pick one and talk about it and dissect it from bit to bit.
I've had a few. There was people that wanted us to talk about Michael Jackson.
Yes, is he still alive or dead?
My friend
Landing on the moon
is obviously a big one. There's my friend David sent me one about a thing called the Great Reset, which is a more recent conspiracy theory, which is something that could be interesting to go in. Pizzagate is a paedophile-y one, which is a whole conspiracy theory where people think a lot of Hollywood actors and Hillary Clinton are running a paedophile ring out of this certain pizza restaurant in LA.
Yeah, weird.
So that's another conspiracy theory we can touch on. Bigfoot is my favourite... I don't even know if it's a conspiracy theory, but it's that sort of thing. But that's one that I'm really interested in.
There's
I love
the pyramids. Who built the pyramids? But I think most people know about that one now.
People know about it, yeah. But who did build the pyramids? I don't
think it's going to be one that we can we'll ever know the answer to. Do you know what I mean?
No, but it is interesting to speculate on. I'm not going to say what I personally think.
Conspiracy theories, you don't normally have an answer for, right? That's what a conspiracy theory is.
Each person can have a definite answer.
Yeah, their own answer, don't they? Yeah.
If a conspiracy theory has been proven, then it's not a conspiracy theory anymore.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's what I was asking.
So yeah, stuff like the moon landings would be a great one as well. What do you think?
I don't class that as a conspiracy theory, though. Because, really? It happened.
Yeah, I mean, there is, I believe it happened as well. There is the evidence that people give that it didn't, some of it is very convincing.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I guess that is why it's a conspiracy.
You have to be convincing in the conspiracy theory industry.
That's the thing about conspiracy theories as well. It remains a conspiracy theory as long as there is a big enough group of people that still believe the opposite.
Oh,
so,
yeah, true.
That is why the moon landings are still a conspiracy theory.
Yeah, I mean, we did polls on a couple of them, and we were like, oh, what do you think of this one? True, false, alive, dead, blah, blah, blah. And the votes were never 50-50. It did sway more one side than the other. So, you know, it's going to be really controversial for listeners to listen. And if they don't agree, they're going to be like, whoa, okay. Well, are we going to sway them? Are we going to agree on all of them? We might have different opinions. I know we have different opinions on a couple already, but we will hold those thoughts for future episodes.
Yeah, exactly. So if anyone has any ideas or conspiracy theories they would like us to cover, please
let us know.
Yeah, let us know. Tweet us at Court Case Cast, or go on Instagram at Court Case Podcast. I wrote a blog page recently on my website, which is an interesting one. I'm trying to start a blog series, probably maybe once a month, once every couple of weeks, called Cold Cases, where I tackle a subject which I think is really interesting. And the one that I did this week was I did times that people have predicted the end of the world and what happened after they predicted it. And I just find it so interesting. There was this one woman that used chicken eggs to predict that Christ was coming. She etched Christ is coming onto little eggs and then reinserted the eggs up the chicken.
Yeah, that's so fucked.
And then the chicken hatched them again. She's like, look, my chicken's hatching eggs that say Christ is coming.
Oh my God. What is wrong with people, honestly?
Yeah, I know. But what are you going to do?
I mean, if people were all straight in the head, we wouldn't have anything to talk about.
No, exactly. What date is this podcast airing? It's going to be around March. It's definitely going to be
the
first week of March, isn't it?
It would be the date of the 5th.
Perfect. This episode that you're listening to right now that's just aired is airing right in the middle of Eating Disorder Awareness Week, right? And so next week's episode, we have got an episode dedicated to that. We're going to be talking with a girl called Athena from the Finding My Fit podcast, and she has suffered from an eating disorder, and she has written a book and has also got a podcast on it. And we're going to ask her all sorts of questions about eating disorders, about the body positivity movement, whether it skews too far female and there's not enough body positivity for men. We're going to talk to her about diets, what diets help with that, what her experience was like dealing with anorexia and her disorder, and multiple other questions like that. And that one's going to be a really interesting one.
So that's next week. It's a little bit shorter than our normal episodes, but we thought it was a really important episode to cover on, and keeping the loop with current times and events, really.
Yeah, so it's probably going to be about half an hour, so it's a nice bite-sized chunk, that episode. And then,
I mean, some viewers might prefer a shorter episode anyway, so
yeah, we'll see. But and then it will be back to us chatting conspiracy theories the week after.
But we don't worry, we've got more collabs lined up.
We have got some more collabs throughout the
months of March and April, I believe.
That is something that I would like people to know, actually. I would like to know if people prefer the collaborations or if they prefer us on our own.
Yeah.
That's something that I'd like to know. So we might have to ask that question
on the story soon.
On the story, yeah. If you guys want to tell us that, any feedback, we love it. We love
we personally love doing collabs because this what we're doing, it's obviously not a job, but it's so fun that we can use what we're doing to connect with other people doing what they're doing as well. And every podcast is different, every podcast covers different topics, so we're literally meeting people all over. We've got a friend in California now, a friend in New Jersey. It's amazing.
We've gotten good feedback on the Quips and Dips collaboration last week. A lot of people love that. And thank you guys. We really enjoyed making it.
No, yeah, it's so fun. It is really cool doing collabs and stuff. So I do enjoy doing it.
Yeah, well, we're coming to the end of the podcast, guys. And I hope that you enjoyed our spill on all the dirty secrets in Hollywood at the moment. And knowing Hollywood, by next week, there'll be even more. So
we might have to be the Hollywood Fix part two.
Yeah, exactly. We need to fix Hollywood is what we need to do.
I think so.
But all I can ask you guys with this podcast, and from what you've heard today, is just tell everyone about it. Tell everyone about this news and this stuff that you've heard, okay? Get it known amongst many people that Hollywood
get
is not...
Get it trending on Twitter.
Yep.
Everyone just loves a bit of tweeting.
Let everyone you know that Hollywood is not as squeaky clean as you...
It may seem. Wait.
Yep. That rhymed. But yeah.
Rhymed.
Tell everyone.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know there's one person that listens to this podcast that's a milkman, right? So if he drives round and every house he knocks on, he goes, here's your milk. Hollywood is a scam.
Yeah.
Right? And then, bosh, we've changed the image there.
We've got a milkman listening. Where's my milk, mate?
No, so thank everybody for listening so much. We really appreciate it. We hope you enjoy our little rants and us taking hopefully the right things to court. But we hope you enjoyed this episode.
If you're still listening, thank you so much. Hi, guys. Yeah. Thanks for getting to the end.
Thank you. We hope you enjoyed this episode of Court Case. We're going to be back next week, as you know. And please stay on top of us with all of the socials and everything like that. Also, if anyone's been paying attention to the 1K followers giveaway we've got going on our social media right now, the hidden word is Italy. We love that you guys are listening. So we hope you enjoyed, and we will see you next week. Goodbye, everybody.
Adios, guys.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.